Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the John White Project. I am said John, and today we've got a special guest in a different kind of interview. We're doing our first over-the-phone interview. My daughter lives in Hamilton, Ontario, and it's a bit of a drive for us to get there. So we thought we would try something different and do an interview over the phone. So let me introduce my eldest daughter to you, Dakota White. And no, she's not a Disney character. Good morning, Dakota. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, Dad. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. So how are things in Hamilton for you this morning?
Good. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's supposed to be pretty warm and humid, so I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. As we close out summer this year of 2021.
Yeah.
All right. So what we've been doing is last episode we had Joy on to tell her take on what she was going through. She was with me at most of the doctor's appointments where we got the news that we had cancer. And I say we because we fought or and are fighting the battle together. And then we sat on that information for, I think, about 2 weeks to let it settle in for us so we could wrap our heads around it. Now, we called all you kids, and I call you kids, but you're my kids, but you're all grown kids. So we kind of dealt with letting it sink in ourselves. And I was thinking that, you know, if your children were younger, you could just say that, you know, daddy's sick, daddy's got to go to the hospital, daddy's seeing the doctor again. And that would be pretty much the level of understanding that would all that you'd really need to say. Right. Now, with adult children, it's a little different because cancer means a lot more. You have seen, you have heard, you've maybe even experienced it in your own life with your friends and things like that. But what I want to know is what ran through your head when you heard for the first time that your dad had cancer?
Yeah, well, like you had just said, it, you know, you have experiences with it personally outside of your family. And it's always scary to hear. It's the big C. It's the diagnosis that absolutely nobody wants to get. And I'm, you know, and when it's so close to home, of course, it becomes real, right? It's definitely not the call you expect to get.
Right.
So it's scary. It's, of course, it's a scary thought. And then wanting to know all of the information, wanting answers quickly, though they don't always come as quickly as we want them. And you know, it's definitely a very fearful thing to hear.
Absolutely. It was pretty nerve-wracking for me to hear as well.
Yeah.
You always just imagine your parents being around forever, or, you know, they're like I said, the Joy in the last episode, men always feel 10 feet tall and bulletproof. And this just, it mentally, it just brings you to your knees. I mean, once we had the diagnosis, once we let it settle in, I knew I was ready for the fight. And of course, because everybody's journey is different, you're never knowing what sort of battle, you know, you're up against. You know, you've got cancer, but, you know, there's always twists and turns. So when we told you, and we told you over the phone, and then I think we told you that we were going to call your siblings, give us, you know, half an hour before you call anybody or reach out to somebody. Who was your first call, and when did you make that call?
Yeah, so I remember just after you guys got off the phone with me, I was living with a roommate at the time, a really good friend of mine, and she actually wasn't home. So my first call was Joey, my boyfriend. I remember calling him. He was at work, and it's uncommon, I think, for me to call him in the evening knowing he's working. So mm-hmm. he picked up the phone, and I remember being very upset and very confused, because I know at that time we really didn't know much. I think we knew the stage and you knew where it was.
Right.
But I can't recall if you knew like the approach that you wanted to treat it with and stuff. So there was still some, you know, like some questions.
Right.
And so I remember calling him and just being very scared, of course. Again, like I was saying, it's cancer. Like you see it in your life, but you never really expect that someone so close to you is going to get it.
Right.
And it is scary. So, yeah, I remember calling him and being really upset about it and scared, but he's amazing, and he definitely was supportive. And for me on my end, not living with you or being as close as we'd like to be physically, mm-hmm. You know, he was definitely my supporter through it. So yeah, he was my first call. And then I remember when you guys kind of gave us the go ahead to talk to each other, I remember calling Kalar and having a conversation with her and just sort of being like, having that conversation about how we need to kind of step up together and right. be strong for the family and sort of stay connected and communicated so that we could all get through this. And I guess in a strange way, it sort of brought the family closer a little bit that way, which was nice.
I think that happens in a lot of families that, that maybe are separated by distance. Mm-hmm. I know your sister's up in Owen Sound, you're in Hamilton, we're over in Newmarket, your brother lives in Peterborough. I mean, we are pretty much all over Ontario. So mm-hmm. It was nice that, it's nice it brought everybody together. It was just crappy circumstances that
yeah, did no that. Kidding. No kidding. Yeah.
Now, after you had the discussion with Kalar, I remember mm-hmm. everybody showed up for, I believe it was Father's Day weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a great weekend. We had a fire yeah. and we went bowling and everybody had a great time. Now, was that just to come up and make sure, I was as okay as I was telling you I was?
Definitely. You caught us. I remember, you know, I would talk with you and you sounded great through text message or over the phone briefly. And then I would hear from Joy that maybe, you know, today wasn't the best day, or hearing a little bit more from her that maybe you weren't willing to admit.
Right.
And then, yeah, I remember we just needed to come down and like physically see you and see how you were doing and make sure you were okay. And right. also for us to give you a chance to give you that support, but for us to hug you and see you physically, that was right. very important for us.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. It was very important for me that when you guys came, my heart was just overflowing with joy. It's difficult because as a parent, you want to shield your children from crappy stuff in the world. Mm-hmm. But when the crappy stuff in the world is actually in your body, I don't want to burden you with, you know, that worry or that concern, but family is a strong bond. And, mm-hmm. I'm just glad you guys came up and I think it's brought all of us that a little bit closer together.
Yeah. And I think it had been a while since we had all gotten together. So we figured it was just, there were too many reasons saying that we should get together. And yeah, we just wanted to congregate around you and make sure you felt the love. You know?
And I definitely did. I had Good. Such a great weekend and it's been great because, you know, just, and going through this stupid pandemic, you know, you and I now either FaceTime or call every weekend. I Snapchat Kalar and I Snapchat Keir, you know, almost every day. And there's either some sort of communication or some sort of visual going on every day. So it's kind of nice that it did bring us all together. It's unfortunate that it took cancer to do that. But you know what? Sometimes that's just the way it is, right?
Yeah. And I think between a combination of your diagnosis and then you know, you were going through treatment right as the pandemic started. You were still in and out of hospital going through your treatments and everything. And then we were told that we weren't able to see you. Yeah. So regardless of whether your spirits and you were up for a visit or not, we were physically not able to come see you. And so, you know, I think the fear of the pandemic on top of, you know, your dad going through treatment because his surgery for his cancer didn't work the first time, like you've got fear on top of fear. And that's really when you have to come together as a family. So yeah. it was nice. Yeah. It is nice.
Yeah. That was one of my other questions too. So,
oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. You know, it's one thing to be told. And again, I've done different episodes on this. You've got cancer. You go through surgery and everything like that. The surgery was successful, mm-hmm. but it wasn't as successful as we would have liked. You go back into the doctor and say, okay, you know, how does it look? And it doesn't look as good as we hoped. Mm-hmm. So I know for myself, being told you have cancer is, you know, that was pretty mind numbing. And then I know for me, again, being told you still have cancer was a disappointment. Now, what ran through your mind when we had to tell you that, you know, the surgery wasn't as successful as we'd hoped? Now mm-hmm. we're going through hormone and radiation therapy.
Well, I think you said it, disappointment. Like it wasn't easy to see you go through surgery. And, you know, like everything that entailed on its own. So to know that, like you said, it was successful, but it wasn't as successful. So mm-hmm. at the time, being frustrated and like disappointed that didn't work, to me, that meant that the surgery didn't work and you had to do more treatment.
Right.
So, you know, that's like frustrating, I'd say disappointing. And then your brain always goes to the worst thought, right? Like you think, okay, so if they didn't get it the first time, what now? And then what if? There's mm-hmm. always that looming what if question.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So yeah, I remember that definitely being a thought. Though the both like you and Joy had seemed very hopeful that this was going to work and that, like you had said, the surgery was still successful. I remember you guys being very positive about that still.
Right.
But yeah, it sucks. It definitely is not the news you want to hear.
That's right. I think that's when we had found out that, you know, they had, I'm not going to say misdiagnosed, but they told us that I was at stage two, but it was actually mm-hmm. stage three. So it had gone outside of the prostate and into some mm-hmm. of the fatty tissues. Now here's something, that I've often wondered and I've never spoken to Joy about. Mm-hmm. So we message back and forth regularly, you and I.
Yeah.
How more often did you start messaging Joy to get the inside scoop?
Well, Joy and I message fairly often ourselves anyway. Okay. But if, you know, I would message in like our group chat. So between you, Joy, and myself, and kind of find out how you were doing. Right. And then more often than not, we would have our side secret conversation, mm-hmm. kind of giving a little bit more details on it. But you know, she never spilled the beans. She was very stoic as well. And she definitely, I think you guys were very much a team in the sense of you would agree as to the level of things you were going to share with us.
Again, as a parent, we wanted to shield you guys from, you know, misinformation and we needed to keep the fear down as well.
Yeah. Yes. And it's never like, I never got extra info from her. But I would message her a little bit more often than our group chats just to see, you know, how brave is he being today? Like, what's actually really going down? Oh, I remember I would get dates of, I know you hate blood work.
Oh, yeah.
Dare I say, maybe more than I do.
There's a needle.
And so, yeah. I would find out your appointments or when you were going in for things and add them to my calendar and then message Joy and just find out, you know, how your spirits were that day or when we were going to get results from that test. And so she was good. She never spilled the beans. I never really got much more than
what you were supposed to. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, she was definitely really great with communicating with me. And I remember there were some times we were planning on visits based on how you were feeling. And, you know, she would kind of give me the heads up maybe the day before, just saying, you know, it's been a rough week. Like, don't be surprised if we don't have you guys come up this weekend or something.
And, right.
You know, you had been one who would, you know, officially say that you needed to reschedule, but she was really good at it.
That's good.
Yeah.
She is an amazing woman.
She is. She certainly is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on the phone this morning to actually talk, you know, about what you felt and mm-hmm. how it brought us all closer together.
Yeah.
It's an awful thing to go through. I'm still going through, you know, the withdrawal, I guess I'm going to call it, as the Lupron dissipates from my system, I'll call it a withdrawal of Lupron. It's still, I'm not going to say it's in control of my life, but it does have a big part of ruling my life at this point. Some days are really good, and then I can do everything. And unfortunately, I try to do everything the way I did it before. And I have to remember that I can't do that. I'm not 10 feet tall and bulletproof. You know, I'm in my 50s. I have to cut back a little bit, you know.
Dare I say, and if she listens to these, I'm sorry, Grandma, but the apple really didn't fall far from that tree.
That's right. You know, you can say that because it didn't fall far from the tree that we are a part of as well. So,
so I'm aware.
We all get that, honestly. It went from Grandma to me, to from me to you. So,
Yeah,
we have that work ethic and drive.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being a guest on the John White Project, and thank you for being first phone visit.
Thank you for having me. This was very fun. It was easy.
Yeah, yeah. I've got to give a shout out to Rode and the Rodecaster Pro because truly it does make everything so much easier. And no, this isn't sponsored by Rode or anybody. I bought it my own money. And yeah, it's just a great machine. It really is. So I'll leave you with be honest with yourself, be true, be a good human being, and love one another. Peace. I'm out. And we will see you next time on the John White Project.